You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, everybody. Dan here. We just finished recording our monthly mailbag podcast for March, which is normally exclusively for Country Club tier subscribers over at the Patreon. We had a bunch of questions about the trade deadline, so I thought I would put those all up front and put out sort of a special trade deadline exclusive episode here on the main feed. If you want to hear the rest of the episode, which goes on for quite a long time and covers all kinds of topics such as, you know, Islanders All-Stars we wish we had, UBS Arena, the future of Nassau Coliseum Hub, and just exactly what the hell was going on under Lane Lambert. We cover a lot of topics, and you can listen to that whole episode by going to patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety, signing up for the Country Club tier, and you will have access to that and all of our other mailbag episodes, as well as get the ability to ask us a question for our next mailbag. Otherwise, you could enjoy this special episode of questions regarding the 2024 NHL trade deadline. So enjoy. Hello, it's the monthly mailbag exclusively for Country Club tier subscribers at the Islanders Anxiety Patreon page. Thank you so much for your support, for your dough, and for your great questions. Mike, we have a lot of questions to get to. We have an Islanders Kings game starting in about 2 hours. We had just had a trade deadline. Are you ready to dive in to all of this wide gamut of questions that we have here?
Yeah, this will be our first, I think, mailbag of the season where you'd feel overwhelmingly positive about the state of the team. And I'm excited for the change of pace there. I do apologize for if my voice sounding a little raspy and if I have to pause for some coughing fits as I'm a little under the weather, but I'll play hurt. And I'm really excited to get to this.
We would expect nothing less from you, but we're going to power through these. And we do have a lot of great questions, and a lot of them are, you know, in the positive sort of way. We're going to start with some trade deadline stuff. I kind of expected a lot more trade deadline questions, but the Islanders chose to stand pat at the trade deadline, and there weren't a ton that came in. Real quick before we get to anything, what's your stance on the Islanders standing pat at the deadline? Yay or nay? Were you in favor of that strategy, or were you kind of hoping for something to happen?
I think I'm fine with it. Of course, you'd want like some excitement, but I think the fact that there was the chance that they were going to do something, that's what you want. During the day is like the kind of tension of, oh, am I going to hear a trade come across, or am I going to look at my phone and have a bunch of people texting me about a trade or see something on Twitter? That's the fun of it. So, we got to at least partake in that. And I don't think I'm perturbed by it anyway. The team is going so well right now. That I don't have to complain about that really at all. Would have loved to see like Jordan Eberle or someone come, of course. But like I said, this is great time. It's a lot of fun to be an Islander fan right now. And I do think that the people who think Lou is just like asleep at the wheel need to remember that. I think in terms of like cost, when you weigh the entire acquisition against cost, which was nothing, just $1 million on the cap, and impact. I think Lou probably made perhaps one of the five, as you like to say, tidiest pieces of business, businesses of the season, in his waiver claim of Mike Riley. I don't think it's hyperbolic to say that he's played a huge role in saving the Islanders' season. So I think Lou tends to not get enough credit for a lot of things sometimes. I'll give him that for sure. But what about you?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I didn't think I was getting a little bit worried. I was watching the TSN feed, more on that in a few minutes, and I was getting a little worried late that they were working on something and it was going to cost them a first round pick for somebody that might not fit all the way. But it turns out once it was over and they didn't make any moves, I was actually quite relieved because I was afraid that they were going to, do something rash. But with how they're playing right now, I am a little surprised that they didn't bring in a depth forward like we talked about on the last episode of Anxiety. But between how they're playing right now, the impending return of Hudson Fashing possibly soon, the emergence of Kyle McLean, who I would throw in there as a move that has worked for the Islanders lately, and obviously the hiring of Patrick Waugh, who we'll talk about in a few minutes. I didn't think there was really a need to do anything. I'm not going to be upset that they didn't pick up some depth forward or something, although a couple did move that I found kind of intriguing. But I'm fine with it. I don't think it was really the time or the place, and Beats giving up a first round pick for David Savard, knock on wood, hopefully that doesn't happen at the draft. But in fact, that's where we find our first question, and it comes from Mike Napoli, who asked, the trade deadline has passed and Lou didn't spend his first round pick. Does he actually make a selection this summer, or does he trade it? And I'll throw it right back at you. Is this the now? Obviously, a lot can happen between now and the draft. It's in June. We talked in our, how fucked is this team special on the Patreon about, some guys that are going to be coming off the cap. So, but what do you think? They haven't had a first round pick in 4 years. They've used them on Pageau, Palmieri, Romanov, and Horvat. So can't complain too much, as those guys are really good. But do you think they actually use that pick this year, or do you think it will be traded for another veteran player, or at least an established player who can help them right now?
I think that it ends up being used, actually, because the way I look at it is that the island, like Romanov, filled a glaring hole. Bo Horvat filled a glaring hole. I don't think that the Islanders are going to go into a Pageau and Palmieri as well. I don't think the Islanders are going to go into this offseason with too many glaring holes, knock on wood. And so I don't think that he'd need to do that. So I think, he'll make it. Hopefully it's 32nd overall.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true too. Where that pick is going to matter as well. Apparently this draft really gets kind of drop off after the first, 15 picks or so, according to the guys who are on the 32 Thoughts podcast I listen to on Sportsnet, who listen to their prospect perverts and tell us that. So I don't know what that means. But yeah, I think this year might be the one that they use it on a pick, because they are going to need, if we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but if guys like Ishkahov and Maggio start to make the jump, they're going to need definitely some more people down there in Bridgeport. So this might be the year, but I don't know. Maybe somebody becomes available and Lou decides to trade it in. So we'll have to see. But Mike, that's a great question and a great way to kick us off here. Copacabanov, first of all, wins the race for the best screen name here, number one. Number two, they have a two-part question. Of the many trade deadline future Islanders, who were you most upset to not see end up on the team? And then the second part is, what was the trade deadline move that you felt the most emotions about, either good or bad? Future Islanders who you were the most upset not to end up on the team is a great way to put it.
Yes.
But is there somebody who jumped out at you that, like, oh man, I could have seen that guy becoming an Islander?
No, this is something I'm going to expand on, I think, tomorrow on Islanders Anxiety. About, I have a running list of players that since Lou has come that have been connected to the Islanders, and I'm just going to read them off, and I want to go through them. The one, I think for me it would end up being Eberle, just because, and I guess is that cheating because he's also a past Islander, but he was linked a little bit to the.
It made
Islanders.
Sense. It made sense. We talked about it. Other people talked about it. So sure.
Yeah, I think he would be the one for me. Just because of the warm and fuzzy feelings we'd get if he came back. He seemed to want to stay out there, obviously, to sign that extension. So I guess it would have been Eberle to answer that first part of the question. Because, I mean, if we're being realistic, like the Islanders, I didn't think that they had any hope in hell of landing, you know, Jake Guentzel or anyone of that ilk. So I really did wake up in the morning thinking Eberle. And I guess the second place finish, and maybe you were going to take this guy, would be Buchnevich.
Yeah, Buchnevich is up there for sure. But I don't know if I really saw him being an Islander. The easy pick is Vladimir Tarasenko, who has been connected with the Islanders so much that he's almost an honorary Islander at this point. Shout out to Skates at the Stakes, and I forget which one of the hosts said it was, but he's done. He's done with Tarasenko. We're done talking about Tarasenko. He's traded to Florida. He's got family in Florida. He only wanted to play in Florida. Forget him. He's cross him off the list. I know we'll probably talk about him on Anxiety tomorrow, but he's the guy I think we can all clearly walk away from. I also don't want to say Anthony Beauvillier, who ended up getting traded to Nashville. You know, when again, I was kind of focused on depth players. So when guys like Brandon Duhame or Connor Dewar or Yakov Trenin got traded, I was almost like, yeah, I could see Yakov Trenin being an Islander. I mean, maybe it was just me, but he's an Avalanche now, so good for him. Oh, Casey Mettelstadt was a guy we talked about on Anxiety, who I thought you had talked me into. Oh man, that would be great. But he ended up getting moved to Colorado too. So I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. A lot of guys got moved. Nobody really, I thought, played a part, except for maybe Eberle. I kind of talked myself into that too. But at the same time, I'm fine with Lou not doing anything and not trading any assets to get anybody. But what was there a deadline move that you felt the most emotions about, good or bad? Was it Eberle deciding to stay in Seattle? I mean, that's a good deal for him, obviously.
No, but I mean, I think there's an easy answer here, and that's the reunion of Anthony Beauvillier and Barry Trotz. It's, you know, it was funny to read, I think it was Mark Lazarus, who has completely lost the plot. he tweeted like right afterwards, like, Anthony Beauvillier seemed like a good dude. That's all I got about that. Like when he got traded, and you saw the outcry from Islander fans about how this trade made them feel, you know, good. Can you think of another trade recently where a fan base completely unaffected, like the Islanders and the Predators aren't in the same conference. They are complete different universes. Basically the Predators have not lost to the Islanders since the Clinton years. But the Islander fans, it seemed like Predator fans were like, oh, okay. Blackhawk fans were like, oh, okay. The Blackhawks beat writer didn't even know who he was. Yeah. And Islander fans were like, this is great. Like, this is so nice. How nice is this? Hopefully, you know, Beauvillier gets his, you know, game going with Trotz. I'm sure this is a good fit for him. And it's weird that we're New York Islander fans are the ones rooting for a Nashville Predator to succeed in this trade more than it seems like Nashville Predator fans are.
It's true. Well, not only that, I didn't see the Lazarus thing, but I totally get where you're coming from. I saw Elliot Friedman, you know, tweet that Beauvillier had been traded to the Predators, and then follow that up with a tweet that said, just remembered, Beauvillier played under Trotz with the Islanders. And I'm still so offended by that. Just remembered. Bro, just remembered. How do you think of Beauvillier as anything but an Islander under Trotz? Like, I don't understand. Yeah, he was there before Trotz, and he got passed around as his third team since then, but how is he anything other than an Islander? I don't understand. And then our friend Alex Doherty, who was on the Weird Islanders, is now writing for the Tennessean covering the Predators. And he reached out to me like, hey, what can you tell me about Beauvillier? And I was just like, man, we love this guy. And that was when I told him about, you know, that goal he scored is, for a lot of Islanders fans, the single greatest moment of their lives as a fan. Like, that's, you know, that's our May 24th, 1980 or whatever, like, you know, or our Sean Bates, or the cases it's in addition to your Sean Bates. So like, that's a huge deal. And I, you know, he's a Predators guy. He wasn't really following maybe back then, but he saw that video and he wrote me back. He's like, oh my God, this video. I'm like, dude, it was insane. It was bedlam. So, it's just funny that nobody remembers that except for
I think he actually asked, you must have been the reason for it. Cause our good friend Carrie Haber sent me a transcript of an interview he did with Alex,
Yeah.
I guess soon thereafter. And
yeah,
they asked about the beers flying on the ice. And he's like, it was great. It was dangerous, obviously, but it was fine too. It was so much fun. Like, and that, I think that really sums up Beau Villiers as a player and a person that, he got rained with beer cans and whatever. He just took it in stride, saw the humor in it.
He said, like, that's Long Island. Like, that's just it.
That's Long Island, yeah.
Like, so it's just funny. Like, you know, again, Alex is a Nashville guy. Like, he covers the Predators. I kind of get that. But, man, Elliot, come on, dude. What are we doing?
Well, I mean, we talked a lot during that series about it seemed like nobody was even watching it outside. There's like the Lightning win in five, right?
But meanwhile, Jeff Merrick can walk you through a goal Daniel Sprong scored in the World Juniors 15 years ago. Like, come on. My answer to Copacabana's question before we move on is Kyle Okposo, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, going to the Panthers. Again, another guy, you know, am I rooting for the Panthers to win the Cup? I don't know. It depends on if the Islanders are eliminated. I'm definitely rooting for Kyle Okposo, and I think most of us are as well. So I think that'd be pretty cool. But thank you, Copacabana. That's a great question.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Will asks, trade deadline has passed. The Islanders have now won 6 in a row. This was before the Ducks game. Where are your 1 to 10 scale? How fucked are we ratings now? Is it weird to feel meaningfully better after another week of good play and no structural changes to the roster? For the second part, yeah, I think it makes sense. I mean, we're going to talk again about how Waugh's changes have really affected the team. And there's a great thread out there by Mike Kelly over at NHL.com about the meaningful ways that Waugh has changed how this team plays. So I think it's meaningful. It's not weird at all to feel that way because the guy's come in and done a lot of heavy lifting in a very short amount of time. As far as how fucked are we rankings go, you know, I think we did a good job in that episode of talking about more about the future, guys who might still go, you know, Clutterbuck and Martin being numbers 1 and 2 because they're UFAs at the end of the year. There's still a chance that Pageau gets moved, I think, at some point. So I don't think it changes things too much, but boy, as of right now, they certainly look like a team that was not in the, you know, desperate need of a retool that they were when we recorded that. What do you think about this question? First, you know, having now changed how they play, I don't think it's weird at all that you know, a week of good play, no structural changes to the roster feels good. But I mean, where are you on? You were the low man on that. Are we fucked totem pole? You were like at a 3 or 4, right? I was the high man. So. Has it changed at all? If anything, I would assume that's even lower.
Yeah, I think we're in a much more stable and steady, smoother seas, I guess, on the Islander pirate ship. And I do think that is what Will says about there were no meaningful roster changes at all. Is a feather in the cap to New York Islander fans, because the entire season, one of the themes that we kept bringing up was we're going to go into the summer, and this was before Waugh, and when it looked like the Islander season was just going to end up in an abyss, that we were going to sound like lunatics in the off season talking to other hockey fans, being like, "Yeah, we might have missed the playoffs by 8 points, but this team was really good, like really good, a lot of talent. Like they should have been so much better. If they got into the playoffs, they could have really been a problem." With the goaltending and all this. And that was because we thought this team is good. Like there's obviously something that's not working here. Off the roster in terms of not, you know, the players were not, I don't think at too much fault. It was clearly something systemic. And I think that we've seen what a coaching change and I thought Rat Martin put another good tweet out there about how this isn't a new coach bump, right? Like the Islanders seem to struggle a little bit grasping what was the changes in Waugh's first 10 games or so. And then now that they've figured them out and are playing this cohesive game, it feels so much more sustainable than just, you know, the quick dopamine hit that you get from a new coach. Had they, you know, just jolted the team by saying, okay, John McClain, you're now the head coach until the end of the season. And they won like 8 in a row just out of an adrenaline or sugar rush. You know, that's all well and good. But then by the time you get to game 20, you're like, okay, but what have you changed? And it does seem like this one is different and in a good way. So I'm feeling pretty good. I think we can put the how fucked are we meter away for a little bit. maybe we'll take it back out next week, but we can maybe put it back in the garage for a little bit.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. But again, I mean, I think you can go back and listen to that and know that we, you know, it was more about like the future and what it was going to look like next year. And, you know, the cap will be going up, and, you know, if they get some space, then they can make a good team right now even better. So, but Will, that's a great question. Thank you very much. Number 35 Jersey asks, the deadline day always brings you back to the 2013-14 season when he was naively figuring Snow would get a king's ransom for Thomas Vanek. And then he didn't. If you could travel back in time to the trade deadline of the 13-14 season, what would an Islanders anxiety episode sound like to hear that Vanek was traded for one Sebastian Kolberg? I got to be honest. I thought we've been doing this so long. I thought we did an episode when they traded Vanek for Kolberg. And then I found out we didn't, because we started that podcast the next year, the 14-15 season. So thank you for pointing that out to me, number 35 Jersey. I did not realize that. But yeah, I think we probably would have been pretty bummed about it. We would have tried to talk ourselves into Sebastian Kolberg had we done an episode at that point, because I remember being like, maybe, but that was a hugely disappointing deadline. Garth Snow played himself for sure. What do you think an episode would have sounded like? What do you think
that season would have honestly been,
it might have been our first and only season for the,
yeah, sure. Right. that episode I think would be vitriolic.
Yeah.
I remember just being so upset at this. You waited, not only did you wait until the trade deadline day to trade him, but I think he got traded with like an hour left.
Yeah. Oh, it was very
late. That's it. And I can't remember who it was, but there was somebody who was like, oh, Sebastian Kolberg is a can't miss prospect. And I don't know who it was on Twitter at the time, a writer or whatever, but I think they just said that because number 35 Jersey here, they thought that, that if you're trading Thomas Vanek, who was in the midst of a great season,
yeah,
getting a pretty big return. And like you said, Snow played himself. That was something. And the Islanders somehow bounced back with a magical season right after that.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking a lot about Vanek today, because the way the Nelson, Horvat, Barzell line is going, it has to be the best line that I've seen in my life in terms of just sheer talent.
Yeah.
Better than the Oposo, Tavares, Vanek line. Right. Which was the story of that season.
Lights out that season. Yeah. Yeah. But it's funny, like you mentioned it, that, you know, the thing about that season was the Islanders, they tried and it wasn't going anywhere. But you're right, Vanek was killing it that season. So like, why didn't Snow get more? Like, he just outweighted the market, and all of a sudden, I don't know who got traded at that time, but I guess they were gone and they didn't want Thomas Vanek anymore. And, you know, I guess they knew that he wanted to leave because he didn't want to play in Brooklyn the next season. And then he ended up playing the Canadiens too, because he ended up signing in Minnesota. So just a really screwed up situation all around. So, but yeah, that might have been, that season might have broken us. Like, could you imagine doing your first ever podcast during that season? Oh my God, we would have killed each other. I don't even know. Not like in that way, but just like,
no, we would have.
It would have been a nightmare. Yeah. A
disaster. Yeah. Oh my God.
But yeah, that would be a good one to travel back to. And that would be a good, maybe we'll get to another question later, but that might be a season worth revisiting in like a long form podcast kind of thing. But number 35 Jersey, thank you very much for remembering that very dark, but also very intriguing time. Maximilian asks a great question. Who's the better player, Bubble Shield Romanov or Half Shield Romanov? we got Original Flavor Half Shield Romanov versus Bubble Shield Romanov. I don't know. It's a tough call. I mean, he played pretty well with the bubble. Do you have a preference here or what?
No, I kind of like him with the bubble. And then I like that as soon as he took it off, he got whacked in the face with a stick the other night.
Yeah, big. I'm sure he was like,
animated player. He's, he was like, he's, oh, man. What a joy.
Yeah.
What a joy he is to watch.
So much fun. But that's his first question. Maximilian's second question is, yeah, he enjoys my tidy bit of business bit on Twitter. I enjoy it too. Yes. Which trade this year has been the best tidy piece of business? We just talked about him. And I guess it's got to be Tarasenko. What did they trade him for? Like a fourth round pick or something like that? Or maybe two conditional picks, something really stupid like that. And I mean, you know, yeah, maybe the Senators, you know, only had one place to trade him. But I mean, effectively Florida, which is basically the best team in the conference right now, just picked up a very motivated goal scorer for literally nothing off of their roster, not even a prospect off their minor league roster. So I would say that that is this year's best tidy piece of business. The exact opposite of the tidy piece of business would be whatever the Flyers and Devils did at this deadline, because I still don't understand what they were thinking. And we're almost like 4 days away. Do you have a favorite tidy piece of business from the 2024 trade deadline?
Well, yeah, I think, if you were to ask me what my tidiest piece of business in my own humble opinion was, I think actually could end up being just Jason Zucker, because it costs them nothing. And I think that's a, you know, just a useful player for the Predators. Someone I didn't want for the Islanders, but I think when you look, and I also liked that Anthony Mantha trade a lot for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Now, if you were to ask me to project what I guess is the ethos of the tidy piece of business bit onto if I were to just make an amalgamation of the Canadian hockey media and the mainstream hockey media, I guess, to say, I think that the answer would end up being Joel Edmondson
to
the Toronto Maple Leafs, because his cross check apparently is worth the price of a fifth round pick, according to one writer at Sportsnet. He gives them snot, which is something that they need. He is a defenseman, which is something that they need, and he is going to be a Toronto Maple Leaf, and they win Stanley Cups all the time. So it sounds like he would be the guy I think is going to end up being the tidiest piece of business, according to people who give out the tidy piece of business trophies at the end of the year.
Was this Sportsnet writer a certain one, Mr. Jukebox, perhaps?
You know what? It actually wasn't.
It was not? Oh, wow.
No, it wasn't. It was actually a Mr. Eric Engels.
Oh.
Yeah, he came into the fold.
There you go. Well, because I was reading Luke Fox's article on Joel Edmondson as well, who called him a lumberman, which I guess is, I don't know what that means. He like swings a stick around or whatever. You got to go read it.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was one you were talking about. It's insane.
It's, yeah, I liked it. I did read it, and I liked that it was all about how he's just built for the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
because he's won 11, he's been in 11 handshakes at the end of a series for winning, you know, and that's an incredible thing, because when you're the Leafs, you know, they haven't had 11 winning handshakes in the last 30 years. So
yes, John Tavares has been on two winning handshake lines, and one of them was with the Islanders in 2016. Meanwhile, Matt Barzal has been on like, Leo Komarov has been on more.
Yeah.
You know, like exactly. This is, right. Come on.
Actually, speaking of Kyle Poso, you know, that was the last time he was in the playoffs.
I know.
That's crazy.
I couldn't believe it. I was, you know, I didn't go on the Sabres Reddit, but I almost wanted to. To see what their thoughts, like, just to like, I feel like sometimes on those forums, someone will say, "Hey, I'm, you know, connected to this player from a different team or whatever. What can you sum up his career as a Buffalo Sabre?" And honestly, the Sabres are in such a bad place. I'm gonna wait until I can like talk to a Buffalo Sabres fan face to face in like a chance meeting before I get there, because I don't want the I don't want to hear what I think I'm gonna hear, you know, like. It was a waste of time,
a
bad move, because that would really hurt. So
I think they like Kyle. I mean, he's the
captain. I think they like him as think they like him as a person, but I don't know if what his legacy as a player will be. And I could be totally off base, but I'll report back on that when I find out more.
But yeah, anyway, we're off topic here, but Maximilian, that's a great question. Thank you. I'm going to piggyback off of what you said and say that somebody will declare fourth line forward Connor Dewar as the Leafs' tidiest piece of business, because he's like, again, a penalty killer, you know, a motor, an energy player type of thing, which is also apparently what the Leafs need despite having a guy who scores going to score 70 goals this year. But we'll see. Any and all Maple Leafs could be a tidy piece of business. That's sort of how the rules work. So we'll have to see who ends up being the real tidy piece of business. But it is a fun bit. So thank you. Our buddy Sab has a great question. When will you two host a 10-hour live trade deadline special, which would basically mirror the Chinese restaurant Seinfeld episode where nothing happens and you need to fill time? First of all, would you be down for a live? First, we'd have to take the day off, so you know, to do a live stream of this. But would you be down to do a trade deadline live stream one of these years for our patrons or whatever?
Absolutely. God, as long as we can rent out a studio.
Yeah.
That, like a huge studio where there's right. different compartments to it.
Right. Walk around.
And we can
desks.
Play. We can play every role.
Mm. Yeah, right.
You know, we can be on the goalie panel because that's something that you definitely need.
Mm. Yeah. The insiders.
Oh, God.
Yes, we would totally do this. But here's my thing. And I'll try to keep this brief because we do have a lot of questions to get to. Again, like I said before, I watched the TSN panel until about noon, and then I had to turn it off because I couldn't take it anymore. And what I couldn't take was that, like Sab says, you know, nothing happens. And so these guys have to, they've done so many trade deadlines where nothing happened that it seems like they build in all of these bits and ideas just in case they have to fill airtime. And I understand that. That makes sense. You know, you don't want to leave your hosts out to dry. You just make stuff up for 7 hours or 10 hours on TV. But here's my problem. And this is what made me turn the thing off. When the trades start coming in, you got to stop doing the bits and get to the trades. And like, I'm on Twitter and I'm watching these trades come in, and some of them weren't like big time trades or anything, but I'm seeing them come through on Twitter. And then I'm looking at what I had on the iPad over here, the TSN, you know, Trade Center. And it's like, they're joking about Jeff O'Neill dressed like MC Hammer and like gold pants and like sunglasses, or they're like, it was Marty Biron and Kevin Weeks and Jamie McLennan, ironically, all three former Islanders, arguing about the Oilers goaltending. It's like, dude, you guys do this all year long. What do you do? Like, why are you doing this now? There's stuff happening. If there's nothing happening, I get it. You got to do something. But like, there's stuff happening. Talk about this stuff that's happening. Don't talk about Jeff O'Neill's gold pants. Who cares? So I just turned it off because I'm like, I'm not getting anything from this. It's just noise. I'd rather just stay on Twitter. And, you know, so apparently, though, I did miss an entire discussion about how useless John Tavares has become, which I do regret, but I couldn't take it.
Yeah, no, I missed that too, because I turned it off immediately as well. I just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame. And
right.
Because I used to love it.
So many deadlines have just made them so paranoid that they just come up with these bits that just aren't funny, and they aren't informative, and they aren't anything. So thanks for nothing, guys. And thank you, Sab, for that great question. All right. Hope you guys all enjoyed that little sample episode. Again, to hear the full episode, go to patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety, sign up for the Country Club tier, and listen away. Thanks again. Bye-bye.